Hey everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Vegan Ari Show. I am your host, Vegan Ari, and I am joined today, as always, by my classy husband, Miko Alon.
Hi guys.
Thank you everyone so much for listening. We have a fabulous show in store for you today. We're going to open up the show talking all about politics and current events, and we even have a review for you. And then, after that, we'll be moving on to the new vegan product segment. This week, we are tasting new vegan superfood cookies by Love and Chew. And then we'll be closing out the show, as always, with vegan animal rights news. Now, before we get started, I just want to encourage everyone, if you wish to catch up with me or with Miko during the week, please do so on Twitter. I am at Vegan Ari, Miko is at Miko Alon, or feel free to use our hashtag Vegan Ari Show. And remember, if you like our podcast, please consider leaving us a review and subscribing on Apple or Spotify or wherever you consume your podcasts. And just one last thing, we are always trying to get more listeners and subscribers to the show. So anything you could do to help us out with that effort would be greatly appreciated. If you want to retweet one of us when we post about the show, or you want to create your own social media post about the show, telling them how much you like our podcast and encouraging them to listen, or you want to take out an ad on TV, or you want to take out a billboard in Times Square or Sunset Boulevard or one of those planes that writes things in the sky, or I mean, I'm just going on and on. Whatever you can do, no matter how big or how small, we greatly appreciate all of it. So a big thank you to everyone who has already helped us in that effort. And thank you if you are about to help us in that effort. Now, Miko, let's get down to business because democracy is dying in America. And we got to talk about it. You wanted to start us out talking about this rally or whatever it was that the Republicans held last weekend?
Yeah, it was quite the Memorial Day weekend for the Republican MAGA crowd. In Texas, there was this bizarre QAnon event featuring such illustrious figures on the right as disgraced Lieutenant General Flynn, Sidney Powell, the crazy Kraken lady.
Right.
Basically floating two ideas. One is a military-style coup, like a Burma-style military coup here, I'm assuming with the accompanying killings of civilians that has happened in Burma. And this crazy idea that Donald Trump might be reinstated in August somehow, something that then our media frantically reported that he also believes. And I want to bring this up because it would be so comforting to dismiss it all as just more madness in the MAGA echo chamber, whatever human centipede feedback loop that they have going for themselves with these fantasies that are not going to become real. But I think sadly, these are just a continuation of the big lie that Trump lost the election. You have again created this fantasy that the election is going to be overturned, Trump's going to be installed, and when that doesn't happen, you're just fueling this rage that animates the Republican Party base, and there can be more political violence, but it's all being done, I think, as a concerted effort to try to justify these insane voter suppression laws, racist voter suppression laws that are, you know, going on now in 14 states in full force with Republican legislators.
Well, I think the real danger is that they already tried a coup on January 6th. And because there hasn't been real accountability for that, meaning the people who really incited that, people like Donald Trump and Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz, and now we know a number of Congress people who perhaps gave tours to some of the terrorists and, you know, before January 6th to kind of show them where to go, all this crazy shit. Because there's been no accountability for that, what's to stop them from doing it again? And, you know, it's, I think that the reason why I said like democracy is dying in America is because you have now a party, the Republican Party, actively working to suppress the vote. You have horrible voter suppression laws being looked at and being passed in states like Florida, in states like Texas, in states like Missouri. And the really troubling thing that you know that came out today was that Joe Manchin, one of the Democratic senators, he's from West Virginia, that he has said that he will vote against the For the People Act, which was really a groundbreaking piece of legislation that would have undone all these voter suppression laws. And so we do not have majority support for that now in the Senate. Not that, quite frankly, even if Joe Manchin did support it, this would be something that the Republicans would filibuster anyway. So I had no hope, really, that the For the People Act would pass. But I think it's really fucked up that a Democratic senator, that one white man from West Virginia, is basically standing in the way of legislation that would ensure that millions of people of color can freely exercise their right to vote. It's shameful. It's shameful. And it's sadly, it's disgustingly American.
Yeah. And what's so alarming, too, is that I read the New York Times published this piece this week that was called Defend Vote Counting, Not Just Vote Casting, meaning that the For the People Act, for all the great things that it would have done, is already a little bit outdated, because we saw an effort like happened also over Memorial Day weekend. The Texas Republicans tried to rush through this bill that would basically give the legislature the power to overturn the election, even if there was no evidence of fraud. And I think that there was something particularly disgraceful. I saw the Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, as we are recording this, it's June 6th, it's the 77th anniversary of D-Day. He posted something pretending to honor the soldiers who fought for freedom and democracy overseas. Today, Ken Paxton will be on the other side, as would be a lot of Republicans. And I also saw Senator Kristen Sinema of Arizona lauding the soldiers who fought on D-Day. And this woman, I mean, these soldiers risked their lives, gave their lives for democracy and for freedom. Kristen Sinema can't be bothered to cast a single vote in the Senate to protect the right to vote, to protect American democracy.
And sadly, she is another Democrat standing against the filibuster, you know, standing against getting rid, I'm sorry, of the filibuster, which is really halting any sort of progressive legislation from moving forward.
And isn't this, to go back to Joe Manchin, isn't this such an enormous slap in the face for all the voters of color who came out to save American democracy? Now, as you said, one, you know, white man from West Virginia is holding back basically the protection of American democracy. It is so beyond shameful.
I mean, we saw what happened, you know, and we talked about this at the time. Mostly, you know, black voters in Atlanta, in Philadelphia, in Detroit, Native Americans in Arizona came out to rebuke the disgustingness that was the Donald Trump presidency. And what did the Republicans do? Did they try and say, oh, you know, our party and our agenda is way out of step with Americans? No, they just called it fraud. And now they're trying to pass laws to stop people from voting, specifically people of color. I think it is so racist, and I think it is so despicable. And isn't it fascinating that the voter fraud that they claim happened only happened in states that Donald Trump lost? Isn't that fascinating? Why did voter fraud only happen in Georgia and Pennsylvania, but didn't happen in Texas and in Florida? Isn't that fascinating to you? So I just think that this is bullshit. Now, I saw this morning there was a tweet from an NYU professor of journalism, this guy Jay Rosen, who shared something that was written by Timothy Snyder. Who is Timothy Snyder also a journalist? I'm not sure.
He writes a lot about fascism and authoritarian regimes.
Okay, and I want to read this because these voter suppression laws could have real ramifications to what happens in this country. This I'm quoting Timothy Snyder here. He says, the scenario then goes like this. The Republicans win back the House and Senate in 2022 in thanks part to voter suppression. The Republican candidate in 2024 loses the popular vote by several million and the electoral vote by a margin of a few states. State legislatures, claiming fraud, alter the electoral count vote. The House and Senate accept that altered count. The losing candidate becomes the president. We no longer have democratically elected government, and people are angry. Then he goes on. No one is seeking to hide that this is the plan. It is right there, out in the open. The prospective Republican candidates for 2024, Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, and Josh Hawley, are all running on a big lie platform. If your platform is that elections do not work, you are saying that you intend to come to power some other way. The big lie is designed not to win an election, but to discredit one. Any candidate who tells it is alienating most Americans and preparing a minority for a scenario where fraud is claimed. This is just what Trump tried in 2020, and it led to a coup attempt in January 2021. It will be worse in January 2025. This, to me, right here, sums up exactly what could happen in another couple years. And this would be, that's why I say, the end of democracy in America. This would be us turning completely to a fascist state.
And this is precisely what the Republicans are working for,
yes,
both in Congress and in local legislatures, to first make it so that they can prevent as many people as possible from voting, then rigging the results and overturning them if they still don't like them, all in the same exact scenario where then you say, oh, there was fraud, oh, we're going to sue. And when those things don't work, then maybe we'll launch another terrorist attack.
Yeah, I mean, this is what Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin are allowing for by not getting rid of the filibuster, and Joe Manchin in particular, by not just, you know, refusing to get rid of the filibuster, but also to say he will not vote for the For the People Act.
And there's just something so obscene. I can't get over the fact that Sinema is talking about the bravery and sacrifices of soldiers defending fascism when she won't do the most simple thing, her fucking job.
Yeah.
And Joe Manchin talking about how, oh no, I'm not supporting the For the People Act or eliminating the filibuster because I want to protect democracy. In what upside universe are you living? Ken Paxton, you know, who I mentioned, bragged this week about how he delivered Texas to Donald Trump by preventing people in Harris County, which is where Houston is, which is the most populous county in Texas, by blocking mail-in ballot applications. So these people are not, like you said, quoting Mr. Snyder, the plan is out in the open. They're celebrating it. Just like with Trump, I feel like we, you know, in this country made a big mistake, you know, when Trump was saying, oh, we'll overturn this. I'll be, you know, I'll have a second term. Mike Pompeo, other people were saying it. We were like, what is he going to do? This is all ridiculous. They can't do it. They won't do it. And then terrorists were storming Congress, trying to, you know, find Nancy Pelosi, kill Mike Pence. And now we're supposed to just move on and pretend that this is how our brilliantly functioning democracy is going.
Now, I want to say, you know, the scenario that Timothy Snyder put out could very well not happen. You know, it is very common that in midterm elections, when you have, you know, one party that has Congress and the presidency, that Congress will flip. That's why I think people are very nervous that we could lose the House and possibly the Senate in 22. But, you know, you never know. I mean, I feel like, especially since Donald Trump's been president, it seems like the world changes so quickly these days. Who knows what the situation is going to be in 22? Who knows what the situation is going to be in 24? But I'm just saying, this scenario that he lays out is exactly what people like Donald Trump and Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz want to happen. They, if the vote doesn't turn out the way that they want it, they just want Republican legislatures to overturn the vote of the people, the will of the people. And the reason why they're doing this is because the fact is that the Republican agenda is out of step with the majority of Americans. Look at the shit that they're pushing, okay? For example, the majority of Americans, the vast majority of Americans, want abortion to remain legal, okay? They believe in a woman's right to choose. That's a vast majority of Americans. The vast majority of Americans does not want Donald Trump to be president again. In fact, they didn't want him to be president the first time. He lost the popular vote in 2016. The vast majority of Americans support equality for LGBTQ plus people. Every survey has done this. It goes up every year. The vast majority of Americans want gun reform, something else that Republicans have stood against. So instead of trying to change their party's agenda to accommodate American voters, they are essentially going to push this white supremacist and, quite frankly, white Christian agenda on the rest of Americans by undermining our democracy. That's what they're going to do, or what they're that's what they're going to try to do.
Right. And you can see how their anti-democratic behavior has only escalated over the years. It used to be that you tried to prevent people from voting as much as you could. You make it impossible. You close polling places. You make the hours impossible. Now we saw in the last election the escalation of saying, Now we're going to contest the results and we'll appoint alternate electors. And this idea now that legislatures would be able to overturn the election results without evidence of fraud is crazy. And you know who we need more of? We need more people like the Texas Democrats who over this Memorial Day weekend walked out of the legislature to prevent them from having a quorum to pass this law. We need that kind of action in Congress, not this bullshit. Like it is exhausting to me, and I wonder if we need a new Senate Majority Leader. If Chuck Schumer can't get Sinema and Manchin in line and say, we're going to save democracy, what are you doing?
Yeah, it really is. It's very troubling, this whole thing. And I don't mean to fearmonger, but when you look at what's going on and you look at what the Republican Party is willing to accept, I don't think the Republican Party has ever been this far right wing. And they really are reminiscent of a fascist political party. I'm sorry, if you know anything about history, that is what it is.
And not just the political party, because, you know, you say, I don't want to fearmonger. You're just being realistic. I mean, look at the cult-like behavior of this party. You literally had Trump sent a mob trying to kill you, and you are actively blocking proper investigation of that coup attempt. You're back supporting Donald Trump.
I mean,
Trump.
If you want to know how insane the Republican Party is, I saw something this week that was an analysis that said that because Mike Pence had said that him and Donald Trump don't see eye to eye on January 6th, that could hurt his chances of getting the Republican nomination for president. And I just thought, literally, the crowd was shouting, hang Mike Pence. And because he's saying, yeah, we don't really see eye to eye on January 6th, that is how insane the Republican Party is.
And they had a functioning gallows outside, in case people are wondering, oh, were they just saying that?
And carrying Confederate flags through the halls of Congress and wearing T-shirts that said Camp Auschwitz on it. I mean, come on. So I'm just saying, you know, I don't want to fearmonger, but at the same time, all this shit is so troubling. And shame on Joe Manchin. Shame on him for not protecting the right of every American to be able to freely cast their vote. Shame on him. And I want to say one more thing. You know, I read the news every day, and a lot of headlines this week, it was all Trump. You know, I went to CNN one day, and it was like this whole, like, it was like, you would think that he was still the president with the way they were reporting on him. You know, look, I don't know if this is going to reach anybody who can do anything about this, but to everyone who's in the media, please, please, just stop reporting on Donald Trump, okay? We voted his racist ass out of office for a reason. This is a one-term, twice-impeached, disgraced, former reality star slash con man turned president. He's a fucking disgrace. Stop. I'm going to say, it was kind of like what I said last week about Marjorie Taylor Greene. Stop supplying oxygen to this dumpster fire, okay? He's been thrown off social media. Please, do I need to see endless stories about Donald Trump on CNN? No, I do not. And so I just feel like a lot of these media companies, it is about money and it's about clicks and it's about advertising. And they know that Donald Trump, because he's such a piece of shit, that he riles people up. Stop it. Just stop reporting on him. He is no longer the president. He's some, you know, failed fucking businessman that lives in his despicable hotel in Florida. Stop. Anyway, I don't know if that's going to reach anybody that can do anything about it, but dear Lord.
Yeah. Welcome to America, everybody.
Welcome to America in 2021. I mean, this is the thing, though. I will say this. If this scenario that I read from Timothy Snyder actually comes to pass, I don't think that fascism will ultimately work in America. You know, the Americans are raised believing in democracy. They're raised believing that the people chooses their government. And I think that if the Republican Party tried some sort of draconian, you know, fascist takeover where you had state legislatures and in states just overturning, you know, elections just because they want to without real evidence of anything, I think there's going to be massive outcry. I think there's going to be violence. I think there's going to be people taking to the streets. I don't think that's just going to go over. And so,
well,
I don't think it's going to work, ultimately.
One hopes so, but I think that one of the great dangers of Republicans all pushing this big lie is that we saw already in opinion polls that over 50% of Republicans believe the election was stolen because they've been fed so much of Donald Trump's shit, it's gone to their brains. I realize that that percentage is very small in the country.
Right.
It represents, 16% of Americans? But isn't that so crazy that we have a party that represents 25% of Americans yet has majority representation, like completely out of step in the states, in Congress?
But that's what I said.
Overrepresented.
Their agenda is out of step with what the majority of Americans want and
we
believe.
Should also say, you know, when you say, you said the vast majority of Americans, you're absolutely right.
Yes.
More than 80% of Americans support a woman's right to choose. More than, I think the number is like 76% support same-sex marriage,
yes,
and gay rights. So the fact that you have this lunatic fascist cult trying to basically turn us into the Republic of Gilead should, I mean, this is the thing. I think that the, you know, reporting on Trump is a double-edged sword because he's batshit crazy and he's surrounded by extreme, like, okay, so you have these batshit crazy people like the pillow guy, whoever he is, I don't know where he came from, who is literally should be under an involuntary psychiatric hold with his insanity.
Well, same thing with the Kraken lady.
Kraken lady.
Right.
Complete nut jobs. But then you have, in addition to them, these very manipulative, very sinister people like Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, who are like the next Hitler in waiting of the Republican Party. I mean, we can all see that Ted Cruz sounds like a fucking idiot. He sounds as dumb as Trump. But there's a ruthlessness to him and a scheming that Trump is incapable of. And same is true of Josh Hawley.
I don't care if you're as much of a lunatic as the pillow guy or the Kraken lady or whatever. If you are going to stand by and allow that shit, you're just as bad. So all the people, you know, all the Republicans in Congress that voted to throw out the election results, they're just as bad. You know, to me, Kevin McCarthy is just as bad as the pillow guy. It doesn't matter to me.
No, I agree with you. I'm not saying bad, worse, whatever. I'm saying more dangerous because Ted Cruz is actually in our Senate. And my pillow guy is babbling on his, you know, own whatever fucking website.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Another day following the demise of democracy
all,
in America.
All this to say, though, is that
it's depressing.
But we have to remember how crucial the midterm elections are to protecting democracy.
Thank you for bringing that up.
It is exhausting for everyone whose civil rights are on the ballot every fucking time there's an election in this country. And I feel terrible for especially all the voters of color who have to face, you know, huge obstacles to their voting every time, have to fight to save this fucking democracy. Well, a lot of people don't give a shit. So I so appreciate everyone's commitment to democracy. We just have to keep fighting. If we win, though, in 2022, and finally, you know, break this sort of near even balance in the in Congress, maybe we can actually really start to move the country into a more democratic direction.
We'll see. I mean, I think that if the Democrats prevail in 22, I think that's a really great sign. You know, look, who knows what is going to be happening in this country by then? Like I said, things seem to move so quickly these days. So who knows? That would be a good sign. I don't know if it would be enough to break Trump's hold on the Republican Party, but we'll see. You know, this could also not work for them. I mean, I don't think that this big lie message is really resonating with a lot of independents, and that's most of the country.
Yes, I agree with you. I think that they are turned off by the anti-democratic rhetoric, the lunacy, the devotion to Trump that seems to be completely unbreakable with the Republicans. And yeah, I hope you're right. And I hope that despite the obstacles they're trying to put before voters, the Republican majorities are destroyed everywhere. I mean, Ken Paxton's comments show that Texas is not a red state. It's a suppressed state, and that state can be turned blue.
Well, independents decide elections. So we'll see what happens. We can only wait and see. And like you said, get out and vote. It's more important now than ever. Okay. I want to just do one more thing before we move on to new vegan products. Which is that Miko and I joined the obsession and started watching Mayor of Easttown this week. And Oh, I'm actually so happy we waited because we were able to binge it. Like, if I had to wait every week for this show, I would have not been able to handle the suspense. I mean, every episode of the show ends on like some new reveal. There's so many twists and turns and whatever. So if you haven't heard about it, Mayor of Easttown is a new miniseries on HBO. It was created by Brad Inglesby, and all of the episodes are directed by Craig Zobel. I believe there are 7 episodes in total. They star Kate Winslet in the title role. This has been such a fun, suspenseful, anxiety-inducing thing to watch. I don't know if I've had this much fun watching television in a while. Miko, we have to talk about this show.
I mean, this is an absolute masterclass in how to do television in every way. The writing, the directing, the performances, beyond Kate Winslet. The show is so superbly cast. Everyone in it is sensationally good. And I think this just shows you, I do think that HBO is the leader in doing great drama. This is a little bit feels like, I mean, they did, just to mention a couple of other great ones, they did The Outsider, they did Big Little Lies. And this is, you know, some people say that this is a very gloomy show. It has some echoes of the show The Killing, the first season of The Killing. But it's such a fascinating kind of multi-layered, wrapped mystery of family secrets and secrets in a small town. And no, it is incredibly addictive.
The whole show takes place in a small town in Pennsylvania called Easttown. And it's incredibly atmospheric. The look of the show, the accents. I mean, I'm kind of from this part of the country. I grew up about 45 minutes outside of Philly. And I gotta say, their commitment to getting this accent right, there's this like, I can't describe it. I don't even know if I have it as much because I feel like I sound a little bit more, do I sound like that or sound a little bit more New York? I don't know. My mother was from Brooklyn.
Oh, you're sort of South Jersey comes out when you get angry.
All right. So there is like a South Jersey / Philly area twang. That's the only way I could describe it. Certain words like home and phone. Like if anyone is from Philly or from the Philly area, you know that the word water, which is how I say it now because I've lived out here for so long and I've just, is pronounced water. They literally, W-O-O-D-E-R is how they pronounce the word water, water. And when Kate Winslet said water on Mayor of Easttown, I nearly lost my shit. So their commitment to the accents. And, you know, it's funny. I do find it really atmospheric. I don't find this show gloomy. I really don't, because there are moments of levity. I think Jean Smart, who to me undoubtedly steals the show, you know, in this miniseries, she plays Kate Winslet's mother and she's hilarious. And she's in every episode and they have such great banter together. Her and Kate Winslet are just wonderful to watch together. I don't find it gloomy. I find this to be a really engaging murder mystery, and it's like this again, it's this deliciousness of this town of secrets and the unraveling of the onion, and I love all of it.
Yes, I think that it is funny though. I said to you several times, it's like it's perpetual twilight in this town because it looks like it was all shot during sort of the golden hour, so it looks spectacular. It's like fall colors, gloomy woods, and it's raining, and which is kind of echoes of why I think a lot of people love The Killing, which was set in Seattle. But no, check this show out. You will, you know, be like one of my friends said on Facebook, it's like falling into a black hole.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you can't get out.
That's why I'm glad we waited until all the episodes were out so we can watch it all at once. And I want to say, like, even though the portrait is of this town that's kind of like a small and like depressed town, the scenery is beautiful. I mean, I think it's gorgeous, like the trees and it looks like it takes place in the fall. So you get all that foliage. And it's just, to me, this reminds me of home. I just think it's so, some of the shots are just gorgeous. And so, you know, I don't find it gloomy at all. And I want to say just one last thought before we wrap on this, which is that me and Kate Winslet are the same age. And she plays a grandmother in this show. I think of myself as a daddy, not a granddaddy. I mean, when did this happen? I was like, in the beginning of the show, when she's like, oh, that's my grandson. I was like, hold up. Grandson? Did you say? So in other words, like, you're a grandmother, Kate Winslet? What? And so that took me aback. I mean, Miko, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, Kate Winslet is a grandmother?
I will just say this. Kate Winslet in this show proves again that she's one of the sensationally great actresses of our time.
A grandmother?
Yeah, she's a grandmother.
Yeah. Well, like Miko said, check it out. You won't be sorry. This show is so much fun. Kate Winslet, she's such a towering talent. She's such, I mean, her, Jean Smart, the writing, the directing, all of it. Check it out. Again, Mare of Easttown on HBO. All right, Miko, with that, what do you say we move on and taste some new vegan products?
Let's do it.
All right. Yay, new vegan products. Okay, so today we are tasting brand new vegan superfood cookies by a new company called Love and Chew. Now, I'm so excited because the lovely people over at Love and Chew reached out to me and asked if they can send me their cookies. And I was like, of course. This company is fantastic. It's California-based, woman-owned, AAPI-owned. The cookies contain 7 grams of protein each, and they're from almonds. It's soy-free. It's gluten-free. I am so excited to try these. They're supposed to have like a soft baked texture to them. We have them in 3 flavors today. We're trying their banana bread, their cherry almond, and their mocha chip. Miko, where do you want to start?
Let's start with the banana bread.
Okay. I'm going to break off a little piece. Oh, it definitely has a soft baked texture to it. You can tell just from breaking it off. All right, here we go. Oh, it's delicious.
That's really good.
Okay. The flavor, you definitely get a strong banana flavor here. And it's definitely an extremely moist and chewy cookie. This is not some crumbly cookie. I think this is delicious. I mean, it's very dense too.
Yeah, I love it.
I mean, I'm sure, like, because there's also, by the way, it says on the packaging, 5 grams of fiber per cookie. So this is really packed with a lot of nutrients. I think it's delicious. And I think that, you know what, this is a great alternative to an energy bar. A lot of energy bars, I'm sorry to say it this way, but a lot of energy bars taste disgusting. They have a chemically flavor. You know, they're really like, I mean, I've just had so many energy bars where I'm just like, ugh, you feel awful afterwards. This is made with all clean ingredients, and it's just like you're basically eating like a, you know, a soft baked cookie, and you get all the protein, all the fiber, and all that stuff. This could be a great, like, if you were, you know, running around, you're having a crazy day, and you just need something to fill you up, this is the perfect thing to throw into your bag and pull out.
I was just going to say, too, like, where if you're traveling, it's like you get to have dessert, but it's also, like, nourishing and nutritious.
Yeah, because I guarantee you, if you ate a whole one of these cookies, you're going to be full.
Yeah.
You can tell. These are very dense.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on and taste the cherry almond. Mm. All right, here we go. Taking a little piece there. Okay. Ooh.
That's delicious too.
Ooh, okay. See, this I like even better because, hold on, I'm chewing. It's called Love and Chew, everybody, and that's what I'm doing. Okay. I get more of the almond flavor in this one. I definitely can tell, you know, there's definitely cherries in here, but this to me has more of an almond, almost like a marzipan flavor, and I happen to love marzipan. So I really like this. I think it's delicious. I like it better than the banana bread.
I mean, it's interesting. I feel like I really like the banana bread. I think this has more flavor. Yeah, delicious.
Do you get like a marzipan flavor like I do or no? It's not strong. Like
no,
slight.
I think the flavor overall is a bit more intense or rich or however you want to say it. I don't really get marzipan, but it's good.
I love it. All right, now we'll do the mocha chip. All right, here we go. Okay, getting a nice piece of this.
Oh wow. This is my favorite of all of them.
Me too.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. girls, when you get the Love and Chew cookies, the mocha chip is the best. I mean, no shade to the banana bread or the cherry almond. I'm just saying the mocha chip has a lovely coffee flavor. You've got the chocolate chips in there. It still has that chewy, soft-baked texture. That is yummy. That's really good. That's like, that is like having dessert for a meal.
Yeah, that is, I would say this one, the mocha chip, is an A+. The other two I give an A, but they're very good. But this just stands out. So good.
They definitely, my favorites in order are kind of like, they got better with each one that we tasted. The mocha chip was my favorite, then the cherry almond, then the banana bread. I just think that mocha chip, there's just something going on in there that it tastes like you're eating like, I don't know, like some delicious, it almost has a flavor of like coffee ice cream, but like in a cookie.
Yeah, it's a really lovely, rich flavor.
Really, really good. Okay, so again, this company is called Love and Chew. This is their superfood cookie. Obviously, all of them are vegan. They pack a ton of protein. They have about 7 grams of protein per cookie, lots of fiber. They're made from almonds. They're soy-free. They're gluten-free. And they are delicious. So I don't know how widely available they are. So go to the website. Just Google Love, then the plus sign, and Chew. And, I'm sure the website will tell you where to get it, or maybe you can order it on the website. But this would be, I'm telling you, this is the perfect thing to throw in your bag if you're running around for the day and you need something to fill up. You know, you don't have time, so like whatever. This is the perfect thing. It's just delicious. It's like a nice treat. You will love it. I'm not getting paid to say this. I know they sent us the product for free, but they're not paying me to say this. This isn't like a sponsored, segment or whatever. But truly, I really do love this company. And I also really love that it's a woman-led company, AAPI owned. I think it's wonderful. Okay. Miko, anything else you want to say?
No.
All right. Well, what do you say then? We move on and do some vegan animal rights news.
Let's do it.
All right. Boomer has it. Okay, everybody, it is time for vegan animal rights news. First story. There was a harrowing undercover investigation that was released by The Independent, which is a media outlet in the UK. And this was done on a pig farm in North Yorkshire, and this footage was just horrifying. This was done at a place called Willerby Walled Piggeries. This investigation has resulted in several supermarkets saying they will no longer sell products from this farm. There were undercover investigators who filmed inside this farm. They captured footage of pigs with bulging hernias, blood on their bodies, painful infected wounds. There were animals who were covered in flies and shaking from disease, just left to languish. There were scenes of animals so sick their intestines were outside their bodies.
God.
This is just, I don't even know what to say. This is the kind of shit that just tears at your heart at why people just won't stop buying animal products. And this is done in a country, the United Kingdom, where I think most people have, an idea that they're one of, like, in terms of animal welfare, the UK is supposed to be one of the best in the world. And look at what's happening to animals on farms in the UK. No, it's just horrifying.
I think that's true in a lot of European countries. There is the sense that individual country standards, EU standards, are very high for animal welfare. But whenever people go in undercover, they find the reality, which is that.
I mean, I've heard this from people who live in Europe. Like, oh, no, in the EU, they'll say, like, American factory farms are awful. We don't have that here. Well, apparently you do. Because when undercover investigators go inside, this is what they find. And, it's just, it's just terrible, and it just goes to show that animal abuse is rampant in the meat industry, and just stop paying for it with your dollars or with your pounds if you live, in the UK. There's just no excuse for this, and I got to give The Independent credit for releasing this footage And, you know, really getting the truth out there about what happens, you know, on farms in the UK. Horrifying. Okay, let's move over to some good news. Estonia has become the first Baltic nation to ban fur farming.
Bravo, Estonia.
This is really, really cool. And you know, Estonia is very close to your homeland, Mikko. It's right across the water.
It is indeed.
Okay, and this is very interesting. There was a survey done in Estonia that said 75% of Estonians are not in favor of raising and killing animals such as foxes and minks for their fur. I mean, that's an overwhelming majority of people in the country who are against fur farming. Now, I have a question. You know, Finland, your homeland, is a huge fur producer. Do you think that a similar, you know, amount of Finns would say they're against fur farming?
I don't know if it's quite that high. I think it's probably something comparable. I mean, I want to point out that when Finland introduced this citizens' initiative process, which is kind of similar to the ballot propositions in California, one of the first ones was an effort to ban fur farming, which got enough signatures to put the matter before parliament, and they voted it down. And it was a really, frankly, shameful day where you had a lot of experts testifying on behalf of animal advocates talking about how cruel the industry is. And then they had one, you know, compromised vet for speaking for the fur industry, and the parliament didn't take action. I mean, at one point, the Finnish minister of agriculture, her family owns fur farms. So I feel like
she's compromised.
She's completely compromised. And I long for the day when this becomes the reality in Finland too. There's just no excuse. It's disgusting.
Well, Estonia, Estonia shares, it doesn't share a language with Finland, but the languages are very similar. You guys even have the same national anthem music.
It's true. Strange, but true.
But so there, I would say that Estonia is probably the closest nation to Finland in terms of culture, language.
Culturally, they are definitely almost like sister states. I mean, you know, a lot of Estonians understand Finnish. The languages are quite similar. And it's a lot of it is because they used to get Finnish television broadcasts during the Cold War.
So what I'm saying is, I wonder if, because this was able to happen in Estonia, if Finland will follow.
I hope that Justice for Animals and other great groups in Finland who are working on this, you know, talk to the activists in Estonia and see how they were able to do this, because it's a huge milestone.
And Finland is one of the holdouts. You know, there's a lot of nations in Europe that have banned fur farming now.
And it's not also in Finland, I should say this. They have done, Justice for Animals has done so many heartbreaking exposés from the fur farms. It's not like the public is not aware of it.
That's right.
And the Finland's largest newspaper, Helsingin Sanomat, has published a lot of images. And for some reason, I think the effort just to ban them has stalled.
Well, we will wait to see what happens. But in the meantime, congratulations to Estonia, Estonians, activists in Estonia who made this happen. Amazing. Thank you for banning fur farming. Okay, next story. There is a new company called New Culture that plans to launch a dairy-free mozzarella in 2023 that uses an animal-free version of casein. Now, I want to explain why this is significant. Casein is a protein found in cow's milk, and it is accredited for giving milk, cheese, that consistency, that stretchiness, that gooiness, whatever. And much like Perfect Day, which is another company, was able to synthesize whey without using cows, there's a guy from New Zealand whose name is Matt Gibson, who is trying to do the same thing, but for casein. So he would produce casein without using cows, do it like, you know, somehow, I don't know, they brew it or they ferment it or they do something. And then he would then use the casein to create the cheese that would have the same consistency of cheese made from cow's milk. I think this is really exciting shit. I mean, not that the plant-based cheeses that are on the market aren't already great, because I really do think that a lot of the plant-based cheeses have come so far, especially since we first went vegan, which was like 15 years ago. But I think that, you know, having something like this where it would be like you'd be completely unable to maybe tell the difference, that could really be a game changer.
I agree, because I think mozzarella is one of those cheeses where it has a very specific texture that I think people like and recognize. So I'm excited to see what this will be like.
Yeah. And, you know, the animal-free whey, I mean, that's already on the market. You know, that ice cream that we tried, Brave Robot, that uses
delicious
animal-free whey, and it was great.
When is this coming to market?
Well, they say they want to have it by late 2023. So we'll keep a lookout for it, and as soon as we can get our hands on it, we'll try it on the show. Okay, next story. The Body Shop is in the news. The Body Shop has announced that they are going to be 100% vegan certified by 2023.
Amazing. I thought they were vegan already, but...
They have been cruelty-free forever. In fact, I believe they are one of the first cosmetic companies to campaign against animal testing. They have always been out and proud that they do not test on animals and that they're against it and everything. You know, over the years, I have used their stuff. Obviously, the vegan stuff, but even... Before I was vegan, when I was in high school, I used to only use their skincare. I used to love the Body Shop. I used to drive all the way up. Here we go. I mean, I used to drive all the way up from Atlantic City to Cherry Hill, the Cherry Hill Mall. If you're from New Jersey, you know the Cherry Hill Mall. It's my sacred place. To go to the Body Shop.
You went. Hold on. You went to the Body Shop and then you got a hoagie from Wawa.
It's very New Jersey, Miko. But yeah, I mean, I am a Jersey girl through and through. I love them all. And the Cherry Hill Mall in New Jersey is like, that's my happy place. And I used to drive to the Cherry Hill Mall to go to the Body Shop and get my beauty products. You know, I used to get my skincare line. And so I've always been a fan. And I love that they're taking this step. And it's not just that they're saying that it's going to be vegan. It's actually going to be certified by the Vegan Society. So you know. And I just think this is great. So thank you, Body Shop, for finally doing this. And thank you for always taking a stand against animal testing. I think that's just so admirable. And they've really been a leader in that area. Okay, next story. Trey Semey is in the news. They announced that they are going to be certified cruelty-free from now on. They're working with PETA to join its Global Beauty Without Bunnies program and gain the PETA-approved logo, which is, I think, that little bunny.
With the ears.
And this is going to happen by January of 22. So, like, in another 6 months.
Excellent.
Now, I don't know if Trey Semey is vegan, but I'm assuming that if PETA is going to put their bunny on it, it probably is,
so,
right?
It's cruelty-free. Shampoo?
I think they make shampoo, conditioner. They might do like other hair products. I don't know. I don't use it. But there you go. Trey Semey, thank you. And thank you, PETA, for your bunny. Okay. And finally, my last story of the week. There is going to be a new official vegan hot dog at Dodgers Stadium.
Ooh.
Made from the Field Roast Signature Stadium Dog that we tried on the show a week or so ago.
Fabulous.
Yeah, I think this is great. I mean, this is more of a local story, but I guess that there is something known as the Dodger Dog at Dodger Stadium. I have never been there. I don't even know what goes on there. It's baseball, right? I don't even know. Whatever. Anyway, they have this thing called the Dodger Dog, and now they're going to have a vegan version of it. Field Roast signed a multi-year contract with Dodger Stadium, and maybe the Signature Stadium dog was developed with Dodger Stadium. I don't know. We tried it on the show a couple weeks ago, and it was really good. So who knows? But I'm glad that, you know, people who go to Dodger Stadium to watch whatever happens there will be able to get a vegan hot dog.
I agree.
I really don't know anything about sports. I really
don't.
You
don't say.
And I don't even pretend to. But I love when sports sell vegan food. So there you go. Okay, Miko, with that, we have come to the end of another show.
Yes, we have.
I want to thank everyone so much for listening. We love doing the show and we love you guys. Please, if you would like to catch up with me or with Miko during the week, if you have questions, if you have comments, or if you have concerns, please do that on Twitter. I am at VeganAri. Miko is at Miko Alon. Or feel free to use our hashtag, VeganAriShow. And remember, if you enjoy our podcast, please consider leaving a review and subscribing. A nice review, though. You don't have to read it. If you don't like the show, you don't have to go there and leave a review. Just a nice review on Apple or Spotify or wherever you consume your podcasts. Yes, Miko?
And then please leave one because we will feature it in our social media posts.
That's true. We have been trying to do these promotional like images that we create, you know, that we just post on our social media with like, you know, quotes from the review, whatever.
And okay. DJ, believe I will try to make a human centipede reference about the Republicans every week just for you.
Oh, dear. If you wouldn't mind helping us spread the word about the show, that's my other thing. Please help us do that. You can do that by posting on your social media, or you can retweet one of us, or you can respond to one of our tweets, or you can, even if you just want to post in a Facebook group that you're a part of, or you want to phone a friend or text a cousin about the show, whatever you got, no matter how big or how small, we're always trying to get more listeners and subscribers and talk veganism to the masses. So if you wouldn't mind helping us spread the word about the show, we would be ever so grateful for that. A big thank you to everyone who has already helped us in that effort. A big thank you if you are about to help us in that effort. And if we do not hear from you this week, we will talk with you next weekend. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.